35 years. But you know, when Jesus rescued us, when he rescues us, he not only rescues us, but he gives us a purpose for our lives. And you know, Jesus says that, you know, I'm building my church. By the power of my Holy Spirit, I'm building my church. And if we will be obedient to the Holy Spirit in leadership, but also as brothers and sisters in the church, then we will find good purpose for our lives. And even through the difficult times when we're serving the Lord, if we've caught a hold of his purpose, then you will achieve and you will be successful in what you put your hand to do. In the book of Ephesians, it says here, the purpose of, let's say, the fivefold leadership of the church. It says the purpose is to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It goes on to say a little bit further on there that from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's important that for us as brothers and sisters, for us as part of the body of Christ, that we can find out what is my contribution, what is my purpose, what do I need to do as part of the body of Christ, so that Jesus can build his church, because he uses his brothers and sisters. That's how he builds his church. He uses his brothers and sisters by the power of his Holy Spirit, but by what we are ready to contribute ourselves towards God's calling for our lives. So I want to share just a few quick videos and video clips this morning. The first one I wanted to share is a video that we did of in the slum just a few years ago. Just the children in there and the teachers going in there. So if we can just say, we're just very simply calling this our Helping Hands School video or song. This is our staff of the choir here singing. This is our slum with a population of about 15,000 people, I believe, now. So the school building you seen at the end there, that's not our school building today, but we're planning for, we have a hope, we have a vision that will be our school building that we will have in the future. We've got all the plans and everything drawn up on it. We just haven't got the land and we haven't got the finance yet. We just haven't got anything towards it except what God's going to provide for us. I don't know if you noticed in that song there, it's quite a feat for some of these to sing a song like that in English, because some of them don't speak any English at all. So if you were watching closely there, you might have just noticed that a couple of those ladies are only miming. So, what's this? Oh. So I just want to show a quick video clip here of a little bit of what's happening in our school each day and some things that has happened in the last year or so there. We had our 20 years celebration, as Janine was saying, we've been there 20 years. And there's a bit of footage. We run a marathon each year in November. I'm told that this coming week, the children and the teachers and those who will be running in the marathon, they'll start their training for the marathon. And a set of widows units that we built, you may have seen it before. I'll just explain a little bit about it. So please, the second video. This is our current school building. So we built that. We built that widows units. It's six units there. We built that with our own staff, and we had a builder come in and did the things that needed to be done professionally. But the man who took the responsibility for building this widows units, some years ago, back in about 2010, 2011, I asked him. He was living in the slum. He's one of our staff. Him and his wife. And I asked him, could he build a set of 20 toilet blocks for us? So we raised the money here in Australia, yourselves and other churches donated the money for these for this toilet block, 10 for the gents and 10 for the ladies. But anyway, I asked him, could he build this? And he said, yes. I think 4 or 5 years later, I asked him, could he put a water tap into every home in the slum? And he said, yes. When I asked him to build these widows units, once again he said yes. And the amazing thing is that when he joined us, when him and his wife joined us in 2006, he told me that he was a mechanic. But I found out a little later that he actually worked for Eggside Batteries, and he changed the batteries over in the cars and the things. But he needed to promote. Himself. Him and his wife are now. They run self-help groups in the slum, and they're the pastors of our church also. So it just goes to show that when we see what Ephesians chapter 4 we're just reading there, that the responsibility of leadership raise up the people into what God has called into what ministries and the things that God has called them to do. Because, you know, the difference between rich people and poor people and middle class people and poor people generally is only opportunity. Is we as a middle class, we as rich, we have opportunity, but they don't have an opportunity. But what God does do is he gives opportunity. Everyone he calls, he equips, and he calls into the work that he's called them to build up the body of Christ. So one more song I just wanted to play. This is one of our the girl who's singing this. She was one of the four children who was due to when I say children, they're in their early 20s. One of the four who were due to come over to here and would have been standing on this platform instead of me. Had they got their visas approved, but the Australian government at this stage is not approving too many visas. But we're believing for the future that they will be, that their visas will be approved, and they will have opportunity to come. And the reason the reason they were coming, and we've been working on this for probably 2 years now, is they wanted to come and bless you and say thank you for supporting them through their education and into the opportunities that they now have for their lives. So the girl singing this song, her name is Komal. She actually came here, and she was here maybe over the other church, I don't know. In 2013, she came as a grade 5 student, but now she's serving the Lord. She's in the worship team. She works for our clothing company that we've got, selling things for up the back. Her name is Komal, and the other main actor in this video is Jesus, but it's played by her biological brother. So it's a biological brother and biological sister who are the two main actors in this. It's called The Love of God, and it's simply a little story about a girl who was on the road to Golgotha on the day that Jesus passed through. Please, The Love of God. Once again, our staff are all the actors also. Be So those two young ones there, and other men and women, and the other two girls who were due to come here, but they didn't get their visas approved. So they all work in Helping Hands. They have certain works there, but they also work for our clothing company, which is like an income generating business that we've started. And all of our profits that we make from here, although it's not too much at this stage, but any profits we will be making from our clothing and bags and jewellery and various things we've got there, they all go back into Helping Hands and basically educating children, so more children can have the opportunity that these four children have got with their lives today. So just one final thing, I just wanted to put up a child sponsorship introduction. So we have boys and girls from playgroup through to, we educate up to 12th class. We actually had one of our boys probably a month ago. He finished his 12th class. He did a nursing training course and he's now got a job in Singapore. It's very difficult to get a job abroad for many Indians, especially this caste of Indians. But so we're looking to provide opportunities for children and things. So just for $35 a month, we provide absolutely everything totally free, all the textbooks, notebooks, uniforms, transportation to and from school. What else is... Anyway, medical care, recreational excursions and things. So all of these things we provide for all of our children. But not only does the $35 support for a child, it doesn't go directly to a child as you would understand, but it goes into a pool, and we're doing our other works also. It's not that your child only gets the $35, but we're doing all of our work out of this and other donations that we receive. So if you'd like to come and talk to us and yeah. So thank you very much, Pastor Rob, and thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for your support. These past many years, actually, we've been involved with you, and we pray that that each year we come, we have some good report for you. Thank you. God bless. Eh?
Yeah. Excellent. Another round of applause for Bob and Janine. That's just amazing work. If you ever get a chance to go over and experience something like that, I highly recommend it. Been to Sri Lanka a number of times myself and other places, and it will change your life, and hopefully you'll change someone else's life. This morning we are going to take up a missions offering, and we're going to close the service with that in just a few minutes. I have been asked to share a few thoughts first, so I've got a big long sermon ready. Are you... Yeah, one person's excited. No, I don't. Okay, one person. But I do have a few thoughts I'd like to share before we get into our missions offering and close the service. And if you'll bear with me, they come out of 1 Samuel. And because of time, I won't read all the verses that I've got prepared, but it's a story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And Jonathan and his armor bearer, if you know the story, the Israelites are being oppressed at that time by the Philistines, and they're hiding in caves, they're hiding all over the place, and there's only two swords left in the whole country, and it's not a very good situation. And the thing I love about this, if you read the story, is Jonathan basically says one day, you know what, we should do something. We should do something. And to me, that speaks to me, because sometimes you see in the Bible and you hear stories of people that have this big encounter with God, you know, like they have a burning bush experience, or an angel comes to visit them, like Mary and Gideon, and out of that, they launch into these amazing works. But I love this story because Jonathan really didn't have that. He just had a heart to do something and decided, you know what, I just can't sit still anymore and watch this injustice and watch what's going on. I'm going to do something. And this is Mission Sunday. And I got to tell you that missions is often like that. I think too many of us are waiting for that big angelic encounter, that big amazing moment where God comes and reveals to you every single thing you're meant to do with your life and everything you've been born for. And then we wait for that moment, and we warm our seat waiting for that moment. And then we reach the end of our life and realize that moment never really came. Really, what I'm looking for and what I'm believing for and what I think God is looking for is people that just have a heart to do something and can't sit still and want to go and make a difference. They see a problem in the world. They see a problem in their community. They see what's going on and they say, you know what? I'm going to do something. And Jonathan, if you read the story, he says to his armor bearer, you know what? Let's go over to this outpost of those uncircumcised men and perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. So he did something. He did something. And this line that speaks to me says, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Too many of us, I think, are waiting for certainty, aren't we? We're waiting for God to say, this is exactly what's going to happen. Get up and move to this other place and 100% you'll have no problems. It'll be fine. Quit your job and do this. It'll be fine. Yeah, 100%, this is what's going to happen for you. But Jonathan says, perhaps the Lord will show up on our behalf. Let's do something and maybe it'll work. Hey, we might get killed. You with me? We might lose everything we own. This could be a roaring failure. People might be talking about us about what not to do for generations. They could build memorials on our name about don't follow their example. What do you reckon? You in? You want to come with me? Let's have a go. So they go and they do exactly that. They take the sword that they've got, and they go and show themselves to these Philistines. And Jonathan's plan was this, if you know the story. He says this, if they say, wait there, well, we'll know that we're not supposed to do anything. But if they say, hey, come over here and say that, which is likely, right? Come over here and say that, then we'll know the Lord's with us and we'll take them down. That's his plan. It's like, I don't know if you've read The Art of War, or Napoleon, Genghis Khan, this is how they did it. This is how they recommend to go into battle, go and taunt, and if the people are up for it, go and have a fight, right? So they have a heart to do something and they do it. Then the Bible says, the Philistines, they say, yeah, come over here and say that. And the Bible says they have to climb up. And it says they climb up using their hands and feet. You know what, when you've got a heart to do something for God, you've got a heart for missions, you've got a heart to make a difference, a lot of us think that God's just going to elevate you on this beautiful little elevator and there's going to be no problems and he's just going to lift you up right to the top. But the Bible says, no, they had to climb up with their hands and feet. Work for God actually takes hard labor. You get calluses on your hands. You get cuts and bruises. You know, my parents were pastoring a church and then decided God had called them out of that and they wanted to become full-time ministries and they're doing work in Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, and as a church we help support them as well, and they're grateful for that. But I got to tell you, it's a lot of hard work. You know, there's just a lot of mundane things that have to be taken care of. You got to sell the house. You've got to pack up all your stuff. You've got to fight the government for visas. You've got to travel around raising money. You've got sickness to deal with. You've got family here and there's a lot of natural, carnal, mundane things you just have to deal with and do. I was watching those videos there in Jaipur. I didn't see air conditioning in the rooms. I didn't see big flat screen TVs. I didn't see comfortable beds with plush, blankets and duck feather pillows. Apparently duck feather pillows are the way to go, I don't know. I didn't see all that stuff. But when people stick up their hand to do something for God, this is what happens. You actually have to deal with loss and suffering and financial difficulties sometimes and heartache. And, you know, if you just want a nice, comfortable life where nothing goes wrong and you don't have to do any hard work, don't stick your hand up to serve Jesus and make a difference in this world. Just stay at home in your bed because that's the only place that happens. Are you with me this morning? You've got to climb up with your hands and feet sometimes, and it's not easy. And the Bible says they got to the top. And they took on the Philistines. And if you read the story, they won. In fact, it tells us that in that first attack, they killed some 20 men in about an area of half an acre. Now, that's an interesting stat for the Bible to put in there. I've got this theory, well, I think it's a fact, they didn't actually measure land in acres back in Jonathan's day. They weren't actually, you know, plotting out land and says, I'll have 3 acres over there, the pool can go there, and we'll put a barbecue in this acre. They didn't have acres, but the Bible says in half an acre, so I investigated this. The way they measured that size of the land, which they equate modern to half an acre, is that the amount of land that a yoke of oxen could plow. That's how much land this they won in this battle. The amount of land a yoke of oxen could plow. See, the way they measured land was in the amount of fields you could harvest, right? The amount of field that you could work and tend and produce. You see, missions and doing something for God, the end result of all the uncertainty and the hard work and the proactivities, you actually end up with a harvest. That's how you measure. That's the end goal of what you're doing. The big victory wasn't the fact that 20 people were killed. The big victory is that they actually won some land and they reaped a harvest, if you know what I'm saying. God's actually got something for you to do, something for you to take on, a project, a mission field, a ministry, whatever it is. The reason he's got you doing that is that there's land that needs to be cleared and won, and there's a harvest that needs to be reaped. There's actually results, there's actually fruit that needs to be born. There's actually something he wants you to do that's actually going to take land from the enemy and reap a harvest. For God, Jesus said this, says the fields are ripe for harvest. But we need to pray for what? Laborers. People to go out and work it. People to go out and win it. People to go out and do something. And I thank God for people who take risks and do hard work and don't wait for a vision or an angelic presentation. They just have a heart to do something. They go out there and do it off their own bat. And they say, maybe God's with me. We'll find out. How many people know you go and do something, you'll find out pretty quick? Yeah, you'll find out. A lot of people are waiting and they're saying, God, oh, which way? God's like, do something. Just have a go. I'll tell you if you're going the wrong way. You'll be fine. Can I have the worship team up? We're going to take our offering in just a moment if you get those buckets ready. You know, when it comes to the offering, there's one more thing in the story that stands out for me. If you read the story, Jonathan doesn't do it alone. When he first comes up with the idea, he turns to his armor bearer and says, hey, let's go and do something against these Philistines. This is what his armor bearer says to him. He says, whatever you have to do, whatever's in your heart to do, he says, I'm with you heart and soul. I'm with you heart and soul. And on 3 occasions, it mentions the armor bearer. And every single occasion, it mentions this armor bearer encouraging him, walking alongside him, supporting him, being there with him in the battle right to the end. And you might be here this morning, you're thinking, well, I don't exactly know where to start. I don't exactly know what to do or where to go. That's fine. That can be normal. My advice to you this morning is find someone who is doing something. That's a good place to start. Find someone who is doing something and say, you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm gonna support you. I'm gonna be with you to the end. You can count on me. Even if it gets tough, I'm gonna stay with you to the end. You might have a heart for young people. You want to do something to help the lives of teenagers in this city. Hey, there's a ministry that's helping teenagers every Friday night here, right in this building. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just jump on board. Hey, what jobs do you need done on Friday night that nobody else wants to do? I'll stick my hand up. Do we need financial support to sponsor Kids for Extreme? Hey, I'll stick my hand up. Whatever you need done, I'm with you. to the end. You might have a heart to bless young people like kids, primary age kids. We have a ministry every Sunday morning that does that. We have entire schools that need religious instruction, teachers and chaplains, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You find somebody that's doing something and get on board. You might have a heart for the nations. You don't know where to go, what to do. Find somebody that's doing something. Stick your hand up, say, hey, how can I help? How can I be part of it? Can I come over there and see what's going on and just see where it leads? Can I financially support you? Can I support you in, what can I do to be your armor bearer and encourage you to reap this harvest? You don't have to take it all on your own shoulders right from the start. Just find somebody who's doing something and get on board. For us this morning, we've got a chance to do that now. Chances are most people in the room are not going to go to Jaipur, or they're not going to go to Bangladesh, or we're not going to go to Sri Lanka or Indonesia or any of the other places, the remote communities out west that we support as a church. But how many people know that these people that are doing those things, they can't do it without you and I? They can't do it without you and I. It takes money, it takes support, it takes encouragement. It doesn't just take people to give sporadically, but it actually takes people who say, you can count on me consistently. I'll be there to the end. And whether you're having a down time or a good time, whether the enemy's for you or against you, whatever, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to support you. I'm so thankful we're part of a church that has a heart not just for our local community, but has a heart for the world. You would be amazed. Like, I saw these videos this morning. Do you even know that you're part of that? You'd be amazed what God is doing in people's lives all around the globe. And we've got pastors that encourage us and lead us and just say, hey, we need to sacrificially be part of this and live for something greater than ourselves. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what passions are bubbling in your heart, but I want to encourage you this morning to take some action, to be proactive, to have a go, to sign up for things, to do so. You don't want to get older in years and later in life and realize, you know what? I didn't actually need that visit from the angel Gabriel. I didn't actually need that. I could have just done something. I could have just had a go. Amen? Amen? When you stand to your feet this morning, we're going to sing together. And as we sing, the buckets are going to come past. If you didn't come prepared to give this morning, that's okay. The details are going to be up on the screen. You can give online. You can go down the back this morning and look at those sponsored children and all the other ways to support and bless these ministries. But let's sing and let's give together this morning.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I believe.
great. Bob and Janine, I commend you for the great work that you're doing. And thank you for sharing with us. There's a line in that song that says, give me visions to see things as you do. That's what needs to get into our heart, to realise what God wants to do and to partner with that. When I saw the plans for that school building, something stirred in my spirit. And I'm going to get behind that. I've built a lot of buildings in my time on this site and the other site, and I haven't lost the urge. I believe that there's an opportunity for us as a church, along with others, to get behind that project. And so I'm just giving you an alert now that I'll be after you. 1,000 here, 5,000, 10,000. Let's chase it down. Hey, let's believe God. Believe God, get a vision of what you can do. Like Ben says, you never know. God will pour into your hands the resources that we can help other people with. It's exciting. So this morning, Bob and Junior are up the back. They have some clothing for sale. They have items on the table there. Plus they have cards. If you want to get behind supporting a child at Jaipur, whatever it is, you can do that. But to see the difference in the lives of that. Did you see in the early part there was a photo of the slums? We wouldn't even be allowed to have a shed in our backyard. Council wouldn't let us do that. That's where people are living. And look at the lives that are being changed. That's its spot. Now, eternity will tell the story. And you can have a small part in that by being involved in your giving. And hopefully in going. We're going to organise some tours for missions in the coming 12 months, and you can be a part of that if you'd like to be. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, this day I just come before you, and I'm moved by the work that you're doing amongst people in other places, the lives that have been changed because of people like Bob and Janine. But I believe more can happen because we can take ownership of helping other people. And I'm asking God for your blessing upon these people, that they will have the wherewithal to bless other people, that the flow of whatever it might be into the hands of your people will be made available for the kingdom and for your purpose. So Father, we go forth this day, bless Bob and Janine in their work, bless their hands, bless their lives. May they be encouraged continually by what they're doing. Thank you for the price they paid, the sacrifices they made. Lord, I just know that you're no man's debtor. You will bless them, if not in this life, certainly in the next life. We thank you for that, our God. May you find us faithful in our lives, in our giving, in our expression, in our hope, in our understanding, in the visions that you give us. May we take what's in our hand and use it for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May God bless you. Have a great day. Join us for...